You're listening to The Parting Shot with H. Allen Scott.
Rami Youssef is up in his feelings, and he's putting those feelings to good use with his new HBO comedy special, More Feelings. It's his first special since his first one back in 2009, which was aptly titled Feelings. He just can't stop with these feelings. But seriously, Rami is one of those talents that just can't be limited to one thing. He's not just a comic. He's also a writer, a producer, even an editor, as I found out during our chat. He doesn't limit himself to doing just one thing or just being one thing. And honestly, I can relate to that. You see, I started in stand-up. I actually worked in politics for a while, and then I started in stand-up. And I knew I wanted to do more. I knew I could do more. And I wanted to use my personality to write, have conversations, engage with people. And Rami is similar in that he just can't be doing one thing. He has to be lots of things. And I really appreciate that in a talent. Now, you probably know Rami from his award-winning Hulu comedy series, Rami. You may have also recently seen him in the Oscar-winning film Poor Things with Emma Stone, who just won the Oscar for Best Actress for that film. But what you might not know about Rami is that he's a force behind the camera, too. He co-created and produces the Netflix series Mo. He directed an acclaimed episode of Hulu's The Bear. And now he has his sights set on doing more film, which, like, based on his track record, I expect big things from any film that he's involved in. Honestly, I always say this, but my favorite conversations are with fellow comics. So I really think you're going to love this one. You're also going to love our little bit about talking about Emma Stone and her comedy chops. It was a surprising bit of information that he told me, and it was also just really fun to talk about that and his time on Poor Things. And it was just really fun to talk with Rami, so I really think you're going to like this. So let's get into it. Grab a snack, because I'll be right back with Rami Youssef.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm wonderful. I loved the special. I love everything that you're doing right now. You're having such a moment, which is incredible. I guess my first question is, how does it feel to be you right now?
I feel very thankful. I feel thankful to be able to work, to be able to get the work out there. Obviously, we had such a wild year with the strikes and the industry kind of continuing to find its footing. And so just getting to collaborate with people that I love, and with Poor Things, just getting this film out there that we worked on years ago. And so I've never been a part of that. I think I've been part of the TV grind, where it's just 16 months straight from, you know, writing to shooting to editing to releasing. This is kind of one of those. It was a bit of a boomerang. You know, we did it a few years ago and then it comes out. I feel it's been really fun.
Yeah, you have so much going on right now. Well, I want to start with the special, because it's great. And I want to know, like, I mean, your first one was called Feelings. This one's called More Feelings. So, like, how have your feelings changed over the years since the two specials?
Yeah, a lot has changed and a lot has stayed the same. I mean, a lot of my life has changed. When I shot the first special, I shot it on April 12th. And the show, the Rami show, the first season of it, was coming out on the 19th. So I was kind of a week away from what felt like a big shift for me, where everything would become public. You know, I had been doing stand-up for probably, you know, since 2011 or something. But I had never really had anything online. I just had like a Colbert clip up. And then all of a sudden, I was going to kind of go from that to a season of a show, an hour of a stand-up special within 2 months. And so I think, yeah, there's a lot that's shifted. You know, we've done a few seasons of the Rami show, and of and we're entering the second season of Mo. And I got to do this film. I got married. You know, so I think a lot of those shifts are kind of clear in the material that's in the
Yeah.
special. But yeah, then there was this part of me that was like, yeah, but it's also still called feelings, because I think it's my favorite thing about stand up. I get into things that could maybe be, you know, perceived politically. You know, I don't like getting into political conversations. It's more like, these are my feelings about things that are happening that do affect me directly, you know. And the name feelings is always really nice to me, because that's all these thoughts are, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and to be in your feelings, I mean, I think because I'm a comic, and I one of the things that I find we struggle with sometimes is to admit our feelings. And we it's really easy to hide behind the tears of a clown or the mask or the, you know what I mean? It's really easy to sort of like put a joke, have the artifice be what goes out into the world, and then hide the real feelings. And I want to know if you maybe feel like, since, because when you started it, you blew up real quick when the show came out and then the special, and then you won the Golden Globe, and it was just sort of like things happened really quick, and that would have me in my feelings. So I want to know, like, do you feel like you're able to open up more now, considering where you're at?
Well, you know this, right? In doing stand-up, it's you just the more you do it, the more you kind of, well, two things happen. I think on one real practical craft level, it just becomes easier to figure out a joke that feels like yours. Because I
Yeah.
think things just feel funny to us. And then it's like, okay, cool, that feels funny to me, but is it my joke? And there are times I've thought of a joke and then called a friend and said, hey, I think I just thought of your joke. You know, not that they
Yes.
had written the joke, but I was like, this would sound so much better coming
It's a
from you
vibe. Yeah,
than
totally.
from me. And
Yeah.
I think that's an experience I really enjoyed in making you know, my show and writing for other characters, which was the more we made the show, the more that I kind of keep writing for characters that aren't my character. I really like writing for other people. So then, yeah, there's this one side of it that's like, I'm able to understand what my jokes feel like even more than I could have. And my hope would be that in another 5 years, I would have a whole other
Yeah.
grasp on that. And then there's just, yeah, personal life, shaping it too. You know, I think one of the best things for stand-up is taking time off. You know, so anytime my friends always joke when they go, oh, dude, you're about to do a special, you shouldn't. Don't do stand up for 2 months, because there's always this like funny thing where some of my buddies, whether they come open for me or they come out and see me, and the running joke is like, Rami's best at stand up when he hasn't done it for
Yeah.
months, because
Yeah.
it like it I don't like overworking stuff. And so there's a lot of stuff in this new special that, yeah, I probably wrote in the 6 weeks leading up to it, because
Yeah.
it's kind of, when it feels fresh, I'm more excited, and I think then that shows, you know.
And there's like an eagerness to it too. It's like I have that too, where if I'm working on sort of like a long form thing, I almost don't want to test out the material in rooms and stuff, because I kind of am like, well, I'll just work it out after I do it for that first time. You know what I mean? Like, I'll know what doesn't work and what works. And I wonder, but you're on a different level. So like, to do that for something that's going to be filmed for, like, you know, people to pay for and watch and all, that's I feel like that would add stress. And I'm already an anxious Jew, so I don't know how much more stress I can take, but I feel like that would add a lot more stress, does it, to just to sort of workshop in that way?
No, look, I mean, as an anxious Muslim, you know, I'll
Yeah.
tell you know, I can, I like, there's certainly, no, I think for me, it's about the, there's tent poles that are there, you know, that are always kind of there. And I think, you know, in this special, it all kind of flows with each other. And I think I'm always kind of looking for what allows it to feel, like almost a weird linear thought, but going into a lot of different things, but somehow it's kind of all one thought. And I think that I kind of find that first, and then I can kind of throw in new jokes, because it's not stressful, because I kind of know where it's going, and I know, you know, I kind of know the beginning and the middle and the end, and then I can just kind of keep throwing things in up until, and sometimes Yeah, I'm trying to think if, yeah, I think in the cut, there might be one or two things that maybe came up like a day or two or a couple shows before shooting. And
Yeah.
same thing with my first special. It was really fun. I shot that one in Chicago, and there's this great daytime show in Chicago at this place, Paper Crane. I don't know if you've ever done it,
Yeah, no, I've
but
never done it, but I know it. Yeah.
oh, it's a great show. It's like a,
Yeah.
I think it's like Saturday at noon or something,
Oh,
and they're
wow.
shooting that night. And so I
Yeah.
went. I was like, oh, I think I have this idea, and I went and tried it, and then got to put it in the special. And so it's yeah, that stuff just makes it feel fun.
It's just fun and it's fresh in that way. I mean, I love that. Well, one of the things that I find so interesting about even just, I mean, material in general, but like inherently because of the roles that we play. So for myself, like I said, I'm a queer Jew. So like, no, even if I'm not doing political material, no matter what I say, someone's going to make it political. And someone, it's just, I have my identity is politicized, even if I don't try to politicize it. And you experience that too with your work and the work that you do, even though you're just sharing your experiences in your life and your take on the world, someone will try to politicize it. And so I want to know, how do you craft your material so that, I mean, are you worried about people politicizing it too much? Like, does that ever enter your head?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to enter, and I think that it's why I always try to offer a bit of myself in any sort of critique, and I think one of the rules even in my first special, I kind of was, getting into some topical things, and I remember thinking, like I have a joke about R. Kelly, or I have a joke about Jussie Smollett in my first special, and I remember kind of thinking, well, I don't want to just be making fun of them. Like what about what Jussie did links to how I feel, and I think that's kind of part of the idea of again calling it feelings, but zoning in on that is like, if I'm going to go at anything or anyone, like trust me, like I'm gonna go down with you, because
Yeah.
I'm trying to find how it's all connected and how we are all implicit, and so, in a way, things aren't as divided as they seem because we all kind of play a part in it, and for better or for worse. And so for me, I find that, in thinking about it getting too politicized, not trying to really get on the pulpit and yell at anybody. I'm trying to just kind of, offer as much of myself and kind of connect the link to some of these things, and maybe just make them feel a bit more human, and kind of allow us to, take them apart and then put them back together in a different way too.
Yeah, definitely. And when you, I mean, well, ultimately, what do you want people to take from this next special? Like, is there a takeaway that you hope people will leave with?
It's really interesting, like the things that stick with people, it's really different. Something that's been really cool since doing the TV show and then doing live shows and touring, kind of off of the people who resonated with it, is kind of coming out to crowds that are really 50-50. It's like it is like half Carhartts, half hijabs, and just kind of like seeing that mix. And then you kind of have people who really resonate with the political stuff, and then you have other people who really resonate with, the material about just trying to pray, and even the spiritual balances and imbalances depending on where you at, you're at. But as a New Jersey native, I'm definitely very living on a prayer, and that's probably a big thematic piece in this special, where it kind of feels like everything's just hanging by this really thin string. But I still think there's a little bit of hope, and I kind of hope people walk away with that, which is like, oh wow, yeah, there's this heavy shit, but maybe there's kind of, maybe we have a little more in our reserves to inside of us to kind of deal with it and look at it. And so that, yeah, that I guess the idea of that is always motivating me.
Yeah, and it's also too, I mean, just in general, talking about any faith whatsoever, whatever, however you practice it, spirituality in stand up can be thorny, can be a very, it can make audiences sometimes, uncomfortable. And does that ever enter your mind when you're talking about those kind of things and how you practice your own spirituality and just how you approach the world in a spiritual sense? Like, I feel like that's so fascinating. You don't hear that from a lot of comics.
Yeah, I mean, I think religion is usually a punchline, and so I think that, it's funny. I even things I kind of I'll jot down little ideas and that are not even part of any show I'm writing or any special I'm writing, and somehow they'll kind of tie to the spiritual unseen and trying to figure out what, you know, how can we kind of get closer or look at it from a different angle. And so I'm very aware that people are, you know, scarred by what I've always kind of referred to as like the industry of religion, yes, where religion has just been this. I think we kind of come at the tail end of a long surge of religion just being weaponized against people. And so rightfully so, people are just like, I don't really want to hear about that. And I think part of what excites me is again, kind of stepping away from some of that stuff, acknowledging it because it's so real that that's happened, but still kind of thinking about the core and the essence that ultimately made any of those things attractive, because that's still there and everyone's still kind of hitting that in their own version. So, yeah, so I know it's a tightrope and I know it's kind of thorny, and it's part of why it excites me. And I think even, yeah, you know, talking about my spiritual practice, but then also kind of sitting it in the context of talking about my Jewish friends and talking about my gay, yeah, friends and talking about my friends from the mosque, like, you know, all these people who are of quote unquote different identities. And I think something that's like, I think is pretty clear in the special is like, you can't really use our identities to kind of try and like draw these lines. You know, it hasn't been my experience in personal life. And so there's something about, you know, kind of pointing to that connectivity in the sea of what might feel like the opposite of that.
Totally. I mean, I have a joke even that I tell, like, I've had more fun at Shabbat with non-Jews than I ever have with Jews a lot of the time,
right?
Because they're so eager and excitable. And to me, like,
yeah,
yeah, I take it out of that. You take it out of the synagogue because that's that there's an industry there, and you have this fun day where it's just sort of, yeah, like you eat, and even sometimes they tell you to have sex on it because it's a good day to do that. And it's like all of these things, and it's like, how fun is that? That's fun. And the non-Jews love that part of it. They love,
well,
it.
There's I mean, it's undeniably community binding, right? So it's like, yeah, whether it's, you know, I've been to Shabbats and I've, you know, been to Passovers, and I've been to, you know, obviously in Ramadan, we do a lot of iftars, and mm-hmm, anytime you're bringing people together, and, you know, this is a big thing in our faith, even, it's like there's a passage that says, you know, I made you of different tribes so that you can know one another. And kind of, wow, what's underneath is this idea that if we were all the same, you know, so much could maybe go unsaid because, you know, we would assume that the other person is just kind of having the same thing. But when you're in front of somebody who is different, you actually start to communicate certain things, and then you're almost revealing them to yourself as well, right? Because you go, oh, this person is different from me, let me explain something. And then as you're explaining it, we all have that sensation in, yeah, in saying something, you go, oh, wait, I think I just explained it to myself. I think I just understood something, yeah, deeper in the act of doing that. And so I think that that kind of, melding, you know, I think it's the point of a lot of those, you know, yeah, a lot of those traditions.
Definitely. That's so true. So, so true. Well, one of the things that, I mean, March is going to be a big month for you, I feel, because A, the special on the 23rd, but then also you have just a week before that. I mean, and people listening to this in March, so whatever, but like the Oscars with Poor Things.
Yeah.
I mean, you have that, and then the next scene of Mo, and like all of these things happening at once. How, I mean, you have so much going on. You've diversified ever since we first met you from the show and then your first stand-up special. You've done so much more since then where you're not just a comic anymore. So I want to know, like, has that evolved for you, or do you see yourself as a comic first still?
You know, I feel really inspired to connect in the way that it makes sense, you know? So I think that a lot of the time that stand-up, the things that I figure out that work in a script that end up working on screen, so much of that I still just derive from stand-up, you know? So every time I kind of, there's so many stand-up jokes that aren't in the special that then end up in a script. And then, yeah, there's stuff in the scripts that you're like, oh wait, I saw him do that in stand-up. And though, you know, so, cause it all kind of feeds each other. And so, yeah, I don't, it's funny. Like I don't know what I identify as most. I think that there's a chance that I might identify most as a video editor. I mean, it's the first thing I ever did, you know, when I was in middle school and high school, I would just, I would rip VHSs and re-edit them, and I would shoot things and edit. And so I would maybe identify most with kind of being obsessed with timing, you know, and I think that that's kind of at the core of all the things I like doing. You know, it's just like finding that timing and the timing and how to, you know, talk to somebody and how to communicate an idea. And then it's like each idea kind of requires a different timing. So some ideas are just so good for stand-up, and then some you want to put in TV. And then yeah, I've kind of started to think of, you know, what ideas would really be best fit for the timing of a film. And then, you know, I've kind of been dabbling in how to you know, take my first swing at that.
Well, and talking about your first swing, I mean, like, even though you've done other films before, like Little Things, The Poor Things is like your first big. And if you're going to have a first big, be a Best Picture nominated film. Like, that's not a bad way of doing it. You know what I
I
mean?
mean,
Like, how?
that's just a gift, you know, because you know, for being a stand, it's like we're so used to just, I'm going to make my own shit, I'm going to do my own, I'm going to figure it out. And then every once in a while, you just get a gift, and then you go, whoa, this is.
What is it like? I mean, how shocked are you by A, that you're a part of such a massive thing that this film has become, 11 Oscar, not, I think it was 11, right? 11 Oscar nominations. And B, are you surprised at the recognition? Because the film is weird as fuck, but it's fun, you know?
I mean, the film is so crazy, right? And so I've always really loved Yorgos and gotten into passionate debates with people who are on the spectrum of what was that? You know, you kind of, you know, try to show someone Dogtooth and then they start looking at you differently. And so I kind of knew that that would be part of the process when he first told me, you know, I had this great call with him and he said, I'm doing a film and I'd love for you to do it. And then, you know, I got the script and I actually was shocked at how accessible it felt because when I read it, I really thought, this is a comedy. This is a big comedy. And, you know, he obviously still makes it have that Yorgos flair, but, it's the way it's connected. It's weird. It's weird to say that I'm not surprised because you're always surprised. You know how it is. It's because it's so many times you're so sure something is going to work. But anyone who says they are confident in how an audience is going to receive even one joke, let alone a whole movie, is a fucking liar. You know. So I think there's still shock and gratitude and all of that. But to get to kind of work with him, but then also to work with actors who I've been, you know, a fan of my whole life, you know, Willem and Mark and obviously Emma, you know, who, I mean, come on. I mean, Superbad was probably one of the most formative
Come on.
comedies.
Easy A. Easy
Easy
A.
A. I mean, you
I
know,
mean,
where you're
God.
just, oh yeah, now we're working together.
I mean, that's crazy. And it's, but I also think her in particular, as a comic, when you see someone who is so gifted as an actor, of course, but then also gifted in the realm of comedy, because she is in her own kind of way gifted in comedy. Like, what was that like? What was that like connecting with her on a comedic level, you
Well,
know?
she's a freak. I mean, and again, I love timing more than anything. She's the best timing of anyone I've ever even been near. I mean, she is just, it's on another level. You know, I think it's like, you know, it's weird to say this, and it's not just because, you know, we work together and she's my friend, but I can only imagine, you know, I was never in the room with Robin Williams, but she probably has those capabilities on that level where you go, whoa. Am I in front of someone who could do anything? And it feels that way with her.
Isn't there, I actually have to share with you one time. I did a show a couple years ago. I had cancer. I'm fine, but I did a one man show and Robin Williams came. It was like, it was shortly before he passed away. And he took me out to dinner afterwards. And the experience of making Robin Williams laugh is a moment that like is life changing. And I feel like in a lot of ways, it's so interesting you brought it up with Emma, because it's like, there is that sense of, as a comic, when you see someone who's sort of like, I mean, they get it. They have that timing, and it kind of gets you off. It kind of like, it's so exciting to be with someone who gets that comedic rhythm in a way that so few people do. And you meet so few people that do that. So, I mean, that must have been exciting with Emma even then, having that, discovering that thing in the someone who, she shouldn't have that good of comedic timing. You should just be a great Hollywood actress and call it a day. But no, she has that gift too. It's wild.
Yeah, but you know what? I think I would trade it all for that dinner with Robin. So, there's a machine where we can change experiences, I'll take yours.
I don't even remember the joke. It was a Ruth Bader Ginsburg joke, and I made him laugh, and it has changed my life ever since. It's like a before and after moment. You know what I mean?
It really is.
Well,
that's so cool.
It was an incredible moment for me. And then of course his passing so shortly after, it was crazy the timing there. But I do need to ask you about, so one of the things that I've noticed about the work you've been doing is, you of course have a lot of on camera work that's happening, but you also have a lot behind the camera. And I mean, for me, I just love the whole like kibbutzing with comics and like having a thing. And I don't really care about necessarily always being the center of attention, but for a lot of comics, it's very important. So I wonder if like with you directing that episode of The Bear and getting the recognition you got for that, or with, being behind the scenes with Mo, or a lot of the behind the scenes things that you've been doing, do you feel the same sense of sort of like that creative accomplishment than that you do from being on stage and getting the attention and all of that?
Honestly, sometimes it feels nicer because I think that I noticed it kind of in the edit on this special and obviously when I'm in the edit on Rami, and there are a lot of people who say don't edit yourself because it's hard to look at yourself.
Yeah.
So I definitely find it actually quite freeing to be in those positions where, we were just talking about it. That idea when you think of a joke for somebody else, I think it lights me up just as much as when I think of my own, because it's just something, it's all kind of this act of seeking. And I think when you find something that feels worth sharing, whether it is directly coming out of your mouth or someone else's, I find it to be just as fun, because it's more about the act of finding and then realizing that, that thing that I think I just found, which I can only kind of take somewhat credit for because it just does, it exists. It's like, I just saw this pattern and then I was able to share it with someone. And even if I'm behind the camera, it's still connecting and it's still doing that. And I sincerely mean it when I say, it's just as satisfying. Sometimes it's more satisfying, going through, hair and makeup and picking clothes is like not fun. I'm definitely looking forward to, a time where I'm just directing something like a long film or something that I'm not in at all. And I could just like eat like a lot of candy. Cause when you're about to be on camera, you're like, fuck, I look really puffy when I'm eating a lot of candy and then you can't eat much. And so, it's all fun.
Definitely. Well, Rami, this was fantastic chatting with you. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me.
Oh, you too. This was really, I really appreciate the questions and really best of luck to you.
Well, have a great rest of your day. Take care.
You too. Yeah, take care.
Let me know what you thought of today's episode. I'm H. Allen Scott on everything. And leave a little rating and review wherever you're listening to this. I really do appreciate it. And for the latest news and podcast, you know what to do? Go to newsweek.com. Do that. And subscribe to my newsletter for the culture while you're there. It comes out 3 times a week now because people are enjoying it. And you should be one of those people who enjoys it 3 times a week. Until then, watch something fun and have a great day.